welcome to episode 5 of Unapologetically Overcoming the podcast. I'm your host, Jess Marie. My guest today is an amazing friend, woman, and mom. She has 3 sons, one of which is autistic. And on this episode, we talk about his diagnosis and the services that he receives, and what it's like to be a mom to a child with autism, along with some of the stigmas related to autism. I hope you all enjoy this interview. All right, so today I would like to welcome my next guest, and I'm going to let her introduce herself, tell us a little bit about who she is, what she does, background info, all that good stuff.
Hi, everybody. My name is Gabriella Curtis. I'm 29 years old, and I am a mother to 3 beautiful little boys. One of those little boys happened to be on the spectrum, and his name is Elijah. So this episode is going to be pretty much based around him and what we go through, and his experiences and our journey with dealing with ASD. I am a full-time mother and a full-time student, and I do stay at home, and that's pretty much me. I like to advocate for children with special needs, because without the advocates, none of their services would pretty much be possible. So that's a little bit about me.
Oh, right. And how old is Elijah?
Elijah is 3. He will be turning 4 August 4th, though, so he's almost 4.
Okay. And when was he diagnosed with autism?
So Elijah was diagnosed with autism December of 2019, and he was 16 months old at the time.
Okay. And where is he on the spectrum?
So he is moderate to severe. At first glance, you probably would think, Elijah's fine. And then you start to spend a couple of minutes with him, and then you start to notice some of the clear signs, like the stimming and screaming. And the major one is his communication isn't like yours and mine.
Mm-hmm. Can you briefly maybe explain for people who aren't aware of the spectrum, like how that works?
So if we're being completely honest, I'm not really sure how the spectrum works, but what I can say is that from my experience, from what I have been told and just, you know, raising Elijah, I would say moderate to severe is someone who would need a little bit more help than the average person. Mm-hmm. Help with bathing, dressing, understanding social cues and facial expressions and stuff like that. Where to someone who's on the mild or what is considered, which I don't personally like to use the term, but most people would identify as high functioning autism, mm-hmm. which is somebody who is verbal, mm-hmm. Someone who can dress themselves, bathe themselves, and kind of, I almost in a sense, blend in.
Right.
Maybe they have some sensory issues. Maybe they have some stims that you really wouldn't notice. And then Elijah, he's on the, like I said, the moderate to severe. You can really see that he has sensory issues and the stimming and the screaming, and he is not verbal.
Mm-hmm. And when did you notice that something was different about Elijah?
So this question comes up very often, and people are like, huh? But I noticed from birth, I knew that Elijah was very special. I just didn't know what. So you know how when a baby is born and you have to bring them to their doctor's appointment at 1 or 2 days? Mm-hmm. Well, Elijah actually had to stay in the hospital because he had jaundice. So he stayed under the lights. And as soon as we were discharged, we had to bring him to the doctor's because, you know, it had been past the 1 or 2 days. So I brought him to the pediatrician. And at this time, I did not know, we didn't have the relationship that we now have. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, do you think my baby is deaf? And she kind of looked at me like, you're a new mom. No, you just have, you know, that new mom anxiety. Mm-hmm. Your baby's fine. All babies, they're, you know, they're just not aware of the world yet. It just give it some time and he'll be fine. And I said, okay. And I kind of just tucked it away. Uh-huh. And then around, I want to say 6 months. So in between this time, I had been breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And I had breastfed. I had found my peer counselor through a WIC program. And because I had her, I had some other services, just I think it was a service called Healthy Families at the time. Uh-huh. And it was pretty much a woman would come to the house weekly and pretty much go over certain milestones Elijah should have been hitting. So during these weekly meetings, I had expressed my concerns that I think there might be something a little different about Elijah, and she mm-hmm. reassured me that he was fine. He was meeting all his milestones. In fact, he was meeting them early. So I said, okay, tucked it under. Around 7 months, I brought Elijah to daycare because at the time I was in school to become a medical assistant. Mm-hmm. So when he went to the daycare, I was able to see on the camera, you know, throughout his day what he was doing. So one particular time I was at work and I noticed that all these kids were moving. Like there were teachers, there were children, they were moving to one side of the room and my child did not move. Mm-hmm. And I was because at the time I thought, why would you single my child out? That came up and I discussed it with the teacher. And I brought up autism and she said, no, Gabriella, I don't think he has autism. But today, while you know, the kids were playing, there was a really loud noise and the kids reacted. So, you know, they all moved to one side, but Elijah didn't move. Mm-hmm. I do think he might be deaf. So I said, okay. I'm not sure that I would say he's deaf, but we're getting somewhere now because now someone is also seeing something that I'm kind of seeing.
Okay. So what was the time frame from when you first noticed things were different to when he was actually diagnosed? How much time was in between those things?
About 6 months. Okay. Maybe about 8 months, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, about 8 months.
All right. What were some of the struggles and obstacles that you dealt with in getting him diagnosed?
Well, for one, I'm a young mom. I'm also a minority. So sometimes people in places don't take me serious. Also, I have a childlike voice sometimes. And if my hair is pulled back, I do look younger than what I am, mm-hmm. although I am 29 years old. So sometimes I do get mistaken for a really young mom. And then I start to speak and articulate myself. And then they kind of start treating me a little bit differently. So that's one. I kept getting brushed off a lot, especially because I had noticed very early, and typically a child isn't diagnosed with ASD until about around 18 months at the 18-month checkup. So that was another thing, because it was so early, they were kind of telling me to wait and I was not willing to wait.
Yeah.
So I think those are the two major things, or really just one, just being brushed off or being told that it was too early or that he's fine, when in my gut I knew that there was something wrong. I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like usually moms, they know. Like you might not know what it is, but you definitely know. And I know that doctors, you know, they brush people off because, like you said, you were a young mom, you are a minority, and we all know that those things affect that, and they shouldn't, but unfortunately they do. But you know, I think it's important that you continue to speak up, you continue to advocate, you knew and you were right. And, you know, that's important. I think for every mom to hear is, you know, when something seems off or seems different, to fight until you get the answers that, you know, that you need and that, you know, are there, you know, so definitely. What are some of the stigmas related to autism that you can identify?
A huge one. I feel like there's a saying that we use in the ASD family community, different, not less. And that little saying means so much to me personally, because I think that you hear autism and you expect, and even for me, I haven't worked that closely, because I did work in daycare for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I never worked closely with a child who had a noticeable disability, maybe a speech, you know, setback or something like that, but never autism. Mm-hmm. And so anything that I have ever seen about autism, it was someone who really was disoriented. Maybe they were, I don't know, they just didn't look like your average person, mm-hmm. right? And it was noticeable that they had this disability. Mm-hmm. And one of the very... very first thing that threw me off when Elijah was first diagnosed with autism was the doctor, the developmental pediatrician looked at me in my eyes and he said, you know, Elijah has autism, but he's not mentally retarded. And he used those, you know, those two words.
Wow.
And I was taken aback by it, because yeah. I didn't know that, you know, as a medical professional, that was appropriate to use. But apparently that is one of the ways that they figure out where the child is on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, we do not use the R word ever mm-hmm. in this household, or family or friends. If you use the R word, I'm sorry, we cannot associate with you, because it's just inappropriate and we don't like it.
Absolutely.
So I guess I would say having a look, and people often say to me, oh, Elijah doesn't look like he has autism. And sometimes it's really offensive, because autism doesn't have a look. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many very highly intelligent people out there who have autism, mm-hmm. and they are very articulate and they are extremely intelligent and they are able to navigate through life perfectly fine. They just have some, you know, things that make them a little different than maybe you and I. So I guess I would say just people assuming that autism has a certain look when it does not have a look, or people assuming that because Elijah has autism that he's not smart, mm-hmm. when in fact he's actually extremely intelligent. He might be a borderline genius. And I'm not just saying that because he's my child, but he's really, really smart. The only thing that makes him different is he lacks social skills.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't communicate the way you and I communicate. But he's getting there. I'm pretty sure he's, you know, back talked me a few times and I just didn't know what he was saying.
What would be some advice or a tip that you could maybe give to another parent who is going through this same type of journey that you have gone through and are going through as far as raising a child with autism?
Whew, that one's heavy, Jess. I guess some of the greatest advice that I could ever give is that your journey is your journey. Try as hard as it is not to compare your child to others, because every child is different, even children on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And really just learn from it. Learn from the cues that your child is giving you. Use your resources. Don't be afraid to advocate. Use your voice, because you are your child's voice. And without your voice, they won't benefit from the resources that are out there. Stay out of those Facebook groups and stuff like that. Because sometimes what I found personally is that I was seeing more negative stories than more positive. Mm-hmm. And it gave me really bad anxiety.
Sure. So
learn from your own journey, learn from your child. Know that every day is not going to be a good day, and it's going to be really hard, and it's going to be really tough, especially with family and friends, because they don't understand. Even when, you know, they're trying to be helpful, no one understands your journey like you do, because it's your journey, right? Mm-hmm. And just be patient. Be patient with your child. Be patient with yourself. And just go on your journey with grace.
That is all wonderful advice. And one last question. Actually, two more questions. The first one is just, if you had a quote, some kind of inspirational message, something that resonates with you, doesn't necessarily have to do with autism, doesn't even have to necessarily do with being a mom, any kind of quote or message that inspires you that you would like to share.
Okay, so I have two.
Okay.
So the first one would be, "And this too shall pass," because I find myself saying this at least twice a day, not twice a week, not twice a month, but twice a day, because I find myself getting caught up in just like, what is going on, right? Mm-hmm. And I get so upset sometimes when things don't go as planned, or, you know, there's these bumps in the roads, and then here it is, you know, 2 weeks later, a month later, a year later, and I wasted so much time in that moment being so stressed out or anxious about whatever was going on, that I essentially, you know, lost time, because mm-hmm. I was so focused on the negative, or, you know, what was happening. So now it's just saying, you know, "And this too shall pass." It's kind of like a little reminder that although I'm going through whatever I'm going through, it's going to pass and it's going to get better. It's not always going to be this way, right?
Yes, that's an extremely important reminder.
Absolutely. So I think that's one. And then another one is, "It is written." So I like to say this, I live by this, I base everything in my life around "it is written," because it is written that whatever path I take, whatever steps I take in my journey, whatever people come into my life, anything that I do, it's already written. It's already mapped out. And just let it be. Mm-hmm. Just literally let it be. Because at the end of the day, as long as you're exuding love and, you know, being kind to people, everything will work out.
Absolutely. I know that's another important piece of advice, but I know that's hard sometimes for people to do. So that takes practice, daily practice, I think, but that's also extremely important. Do you still have the clothing line? Are you still doing that?
I do. The clothing line is really, it was really based off of, you know, just me dressing Elijah. So that was one of his little things that I did for him, to kind of, I guess, take away from his disability, right? Not take it, he is who he is.
Right.
And nothing is going to change that. But I think when I started to share his journey and his story, people would almost like, I guess, in a way, like pity him. And I didn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned to pretty much styling him. And then people were less focused on his disability, but how cute he looked in his, you know, little grown-up clothes and stuff like that. So because people loved his little outfit so much, I took it upon myself to, okay, it's COVID, why not start a business? So I started a business for him, which is called Awesome Apparel. Everything is made to order. So there is a link on Etsy, but the shop is still under construction right now, but feel free to place an order. Like I said, it's made to order and it's Awesome Apparel.
Awesome. And I will definitely put the link for that in the episode description for the podcast so that anyone that's interested can access that. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I'm so grateful to Gabriella for taking time out of her very busy schedule to talk with me about her amazing son, Elijah. I just want to remind everybody about the importance of not comparing your child's journey to anyone else's child's journey, whether it be a diagnosis with autism or any other kind of diagnosis or even developmental milestones or achievements. Everyone's journey is different, and different does not mean less than. If you are looking for information or resources on autism, there will be some websites linked in the episode description. And if you'd like to support Gabriella's business, that info will also be linked in the episode description. Thank you everyone for listening, and remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to each other, and be unapologetically you.